Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hey, Healing Journeys Today family. If you are a married person or you're going to get married or you've been married or if you're in a relationship, this is the show for you. We're Butch and Julianne Hartman. This is Heartbeat. We are here because we've been married 29 years.
Something went right.
Yes, or we just, for some reason, we can't find the key to the handcuffs. It's one of those two things. So we are here because we want to help you get a better understanding of what it takes to have a good relationship because we, like I said.
Yeah.
Now, we've been married, gosh, I got married to you. You're the only one I've ever been married to. And I was married when I was 27. In 1992, we got married. I was 27.
Yeah. I was turning 30 that year.
Yeah, but it's amazing because in May 9th, of 2022, which I'm still mind-boggled by, will be our 30th wedding anniversary.
I can't even believe it.
Are you guys going to do for our 30th wedding anniversary? Hey, look, the title of our episode today is Why Are We So Mean
to
Each Other?
I'm looking to see if our anniversary falls.
I'm trying to get into the...
No, I know, but I'm looking to see if our anniversary falls on a Wednesday.
May 9th.
April. It falls on a Monday.
It's a Monday. Now, we've been contemplating... taking a cruise, and we haven't taken a cruise in a long, long time. Has anybody out there been on a cruise lately?
Well, we're thinking about going on like a European, like a something like a Viking, like cruise line. Anyway, they don't need to know.
Lisa says, can I ask a question I would have last week?
Oh my God, yes.
Of course you can, Lisa, but we want to hear
what your question is. And if anybody has questions from last week, please ask.
Any question from last week or any previous broadcast, let us know. We are so grateful when you guys interact with us. We want to interact
with
you as well.
You know, think about it. In a marriage, that's what communication is, right? Well, on something like this that we're teaching, the more you can communicate with us and let us know, you know, what maybe you guys are struggling with or what, you know, something you can maybe make a little bit better, whatever it might be, let us know so we can help you. You know, we do actually counsel a lot of people in marriage.
So why are we so mean to each other? Julianne, why do you think?
No, I get to ask you.
Mary. Okay, go ahead.
Why are you so mean to me sometimes?
Am I mean to you?
No. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about like.
As a married couple. Why do married couples act mean?
Oh, there's lots of reasons.
Toward each other. Why? Okay, you and I, let's start there.
Okay, one thing, usually, this is not our situation, but it almost was about 25 years ago, mm-hmm. was finances.
Yeah.
That is a time when people start getting angry, yep. and getting a little nervous.
The blame game,
yeah.
Fear. When fear comes in, whether it's finances or health or anything like that, when fear comes in, insecurities begin to rise and... you know, accusations start because accusations are all based on fear too.
Well,
it's your fault. It's your fault.
I was going to say, that's really what you want to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah. So what makes those things happen? Number one is finances, I believe.
That's a big one. Finances is one. Also, for example, sometimes I'll just say this as the male of the relationship, when the male doesn't feel respected, I'm not saying the woman's not respecting the man. When the man doesn't feel respected, that can lead to some feelings of anger. And when the woman isn't feeling loved, that can lead to some feelings of anger as well. Plus, there's a lot of things. We get very concerned about our looks. People like to look good. Sometimes people can feel insecure about how they look. And as a result, they lash out at the spouse because, let's say the spouse didn't do anything, but let's say they're out in public. And a good-looking person walks by and the spouse thinks that spouse looked at that person or something like that. Insecurity is what I'm saying. I didn't do it. I've never looked at anyone.
No, I know that. But
ever in
there,
public.
There was.
So we're clear.
Yeah. No, I trust me. I had a boyfriend once and I was like, you know, in my 20s and I was hot. Okay.
Very hot. She's still
and he
hot.
Still would look at us.
How hot this is.
Who, but me? No, this guy that I was dating. See, and I would get so mad.
See, she had a boyfriend. And now that does that make me insecure now? Do I need to talk about your old boyfriend?
No.
Well, no, it doesn't, but it could.
Well,
if I allowed myself.
Obviously, we've been together 30 years. So
yeah.
That could be really annoying because honestly, at that time I was young you know, I was anorexic, so I was really skinny.
Now that's a whole other thing right there. We can talk about that.
I just threw that out there. I was anorexic, I was really skinny.
No big deal.
You know, I worked out and all that stuff. It's like, come on, why are you looking? I'm like 23 or 24. Why are you looking at other girls? Like, that's not right. And I know
you're probably really shy. You would never confront anybody, would you?
Oh, I did all the time. But we just weren't.
That was a joke.
We were not meant for each other whatsoever. So let me see what Lisa says.
Yep. Lisa says, I wanted to ask what it was like going from one child to two, how Carly was like when you were expecting Sophia, and just the whole transition and how different it was. I think me and my husband are past our fears to expand our family. Wow.
Oh,
great question. So go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, honestly, when you're pregnant, you go, oh, this will be great. I've got a built-in helper. I've got all that. And believe me, Carly was. She was so excited about getting a brother or a sister.
Because Carly was two years and three months.
Yep. Yeah. So excited. But what I love, though, is that we did plan to have, we got pregnant when Carly was 18 months. So at that point, she was already, of course, out of diapers. She was, you know, at preschool, you know, all that stuff. So that really did help, because that's really the hardest part, is when you've got two little babies. Anybody that has multiples or has them right in a row, I'm like, I just give you all the praise for that, because I don't know how I would not have been able to do that. But anyway, so when Sophia came around, it was a little weird at the beginning. Sophia or Carly wanted a baby sister so bad. She got one, and then she saw all the attention that was going to the baby sister. And then it was like, oh, maybe I don't
like
this.
It's so weird. I would always tell you, if you wanted to expand your family, you go right ahead, because you'd be a great mother. And why not
have multiples.
You've already been a great mother to your current child. Why not be a great mother to two children if you can have more than one child? And listen, we know that money gets tight. We know that people say, I don't want to do it till I'm ready. And I completely get that. But sometimes if you wait till you're ready, you'll never feel like you're ready. You know what I mean? So you're already so capable with one child. Having another one means now you each get to hold one. You've already been through it once. You have a lot of experience with the first child. So now you have experience with the second. You'll have more experience with the second child. It'll be a lot easier.
It does get easier. That is it'd be a very smooth transition. It could be a rough one if your first child does not mind you. If your first child is out of control, that could be really hard. Yeah. But you're a great mom, and I never met your husband. I'm sure he's a great dad. So I'm sure that you guys have an amazing daughter, which I know you do. And so with that in mind, I mean, it's only going to benefit. Do you realize they're going to be kids for this long, but they're going to be adults on this earth for this long?
And keep in mind, too, we wouldn't recommend this. If there was a couple that we've met many couples who are just not making it as a couple, they're having a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
We don't recommend those type of people. If they don't have to have any more children, if they don't have to, we try and say, look, maybe you guys should get your relationship stronger before you have more children. We never tell anybody what to do. We'll just recommend. But in a situation where there's a loving family, loving parents that are very capable, if you can have another child, I think it'd be wonderful for you.
Yes. And I know that you guys are not thinking this, but for maybe people to come, you know, don't have another baby because you think it's going to save your marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not, because the more kids you have, the less time you have together. And that's not how you build a marriage. That's not how you save a marriage. Mm-hmm. That's not how you, you know, make your marriage better. It just isn't. So you got to work on your marriage first before you start bringing in all these kids, because if you or the spouse ends up leaving, and now you've got, you know, now you're going to be a single parent with kids that are going to be hurt, because divorce hurts and they don't understand it. And that was me. I was a product of divorce many times, and you don't understand it. And it's very traumatizing. It can be. So I just want to throw that in there. So let's go back to what we were saying about
Why are we so mean to each other? Now, there's a situation right there. Perfect example. You're having more kids and money's tight. You know, if the husband and wife are a team and they're together and they want to get through it, you guys can do anything. But it's when one of the spouses becomes more self-centered, then it gets very, very tricky. Or if both spouses become self-centered, it's very hard to build a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
If it's all about you and all about you, it's got to be about us is what it's got to be.
That's
what will we do together, not what will I do and what will I do. You know, I always encourage people to hang around good marriages. If you didn't come from a situation where there was a good marriage in your life as a child, find some people that have been married for a while that you think is a great marriage, and maybe just learn from them. You know, figure out what makes them tick. Why are they like this? Any sort of example of success in any area, you should try and hang around. Like if you wanted to invest in the stock market, would you hang out with a person who's not good at stocks or someone who's good at stocks? You'd hang out with the successful person just to see what they do. That's what you want to do. So,
oh my gosh, on YouTube and there's all kinds of
videos
about, you know, about how to have a good marriage and having people that are teaching mm-hmm. that do have a good marriage. You know, like what qualifies a good marriage? You know, I think we're going to do that one. We'll like teach on that whole topic one more time, because, you know, marriage involves two people that come from two different backgrounds that are experiencing life every single day, facing things that maybe they've never faced before, facing things that are, you know, that we're learning from. And the way this, I mean, let's face it, look at this world, what happened? You know, we had more people tell us like, oh, don't know if I like my spouse so much, because now with COVID, when COVID hit, they were home all the time together. And they realize, well, we have nothing in common and you really irritate me. And we heard that a lot. And so that, not you, I'm saying.
I know she's talking about me secretly, but I'm just going to.
No, I am not. That is not subliminal at all. But no, we hear those stories about people saying like, look, I don't know you, because when we got married, you know, before we had children, it was just the two of us, and you'd go to your job and you'd go to your job and we'd meet at night. But now, you know, this has been 15, 20 years, and, you know, our kids are involved and I don't know you anymore and all that. And so what happens when two people have grown apart, but they're still living together, that's when you start getting the meanness, where the short answers and just sometimes the mean accusations. I don't want to say anything too hard, because I'm not talking about abuse. Right. Okay, so we're not talking about somebody abusing you. That would just be awful. No, you don't stay for that, to be abused every day. But you can work things out as far as like, you know, why are you being so mean? Did you have a bad day? Like, let's talk about it. What happened to make you have this attitude where I'm like, I wasn't your problem, but now I'm getting the result of your problem, and that's not fair.
I was going to say, too, you said something.
That was really good, what I just said.
It was amazing. It was really good. I'm trying to find the applause button. If you guys have an applause button out there, please play it in your house. Very good. But I wanted to say, too, there's one key word you mentioned in there, and you said, I think you said, live together. Is that what you said? Was
it a term? I said, you're married, but you live together.
I wanted to stop there, because a lot of people are in a relationship and they live together, but they're not married. And that can also cause you to be mean to each other, because neither one of you have committed to the relationship 100%.
Yes.
Or maybe both of you haven't committed to the relationship. It's a much different relationship when you commit to something as when you don't commit to something. You know, if you're in it with an escape clause, well, I had an individual I knew years ago that was dating somebody, and for years and years and years, they lived together but weren't married. And I was always asking, why aren't you married? Well, I'll just keep my options open. But it had been like 15, 16 years.
Options open.
How many options are you keeping open? I just found it interesting that this individual wouldn't marry the person they were with. Now,
that's very hurtful to the spouse.
Do you have to get married? No one, you don't have to do anything.
No.
But when you're going to go into a relationship with somebody long term, I would like to ask, why aren't you getting married? That's just a question. Why? Yeah. And ask the spouse, why aren't we getting married? There's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of fear there, fear of commitment.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been married before and don't want to be anymore. These are things you need to find out about somebody before you get in a relationship with them.
Honestly, a lot of times it's because they've already been through a divorce and they've like maybe lost a lot, or, you know, it's just a very heavy thing. So instead of going there and having this, you know, situation where you're sharing assets, property, and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to go through that again, and I get it. But there are prenuptial agreements, there's that kind of stuff. But I've never asked you to get a prenup, so I don't know what that's like. No. Yes, you.
Yeah, I had so much at the beginning of the relationship.
I mean, listen, this may make a lot of people mad. I don't know. But I just feel like, you know, prenuptial agreements, it's like, really? You can't. Okay. I understand.
This is a personal preference.
This is personal. I understand personal. Why you do it. But it's like, because you're like saying, well, I'm, you know, maybe a spouse died. And so now you are, you know, seeing somebody and you guys are getting married, but you want them to sign a prenuptial agreement because all the money was brought in, you know, when before that person came into the relationship. But I just feel this way. It's like either you trust the person or you don't. I mean, it has, you're getting married. You are cutting a covenant with each other again. This isn't just, oh, I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone, so I'll just take this guy or this girl. No, this is a covenant relationship, just like what you have with Jesus. It's a covenant. It means way more than just that marriage certificate. It's way more than that. Just like your covenant with God, it means more. You don't even have a paper.
That's why they say when you get married, you're going into covenant with that person. You know, a contract is what people sign between each other. That's why there are contracts with people, because people don't trust each other. I promise to do this and this, and you promise to do this. I'm putting it in writing so it's totally understood. That way no one can back out of what we said. But a covenant is something completely different. A covenant is like a promise that cannot be broken. It's something like that. It comes from the heart. It's a spiritual thing. So that's why a marriage is a covenant. And like, you know, if I was going to have somebody put a new bathroom in my house, that's a contract. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whole different story.
Again, you know what? I've never had this situation. I don't know. I mean, but I feel this way no matter what, though. If I'm going to consider marrying somebody, I'm going to trust them 150,000%. So
you anyway. Trust me 150,000%?
Yes, I do.
150,000%?
I do. Yes, even more. So again, what are all these things why someone could be mean to you? You know, why is your spouse mean to you?
I think a lot of it comes down to insecurity. The person, it all comes down to self. It's about looking at yourself, going like, I'm so fearful. I have all these insecurities. That means you're not trusting the Lord. Whenever you're afraid of something, it means you're still trying to own it. You haven't given it to God yet.
That is the biggest problem through everything in life, that we are so basing everything on our own ability and our own strength, right? And then when that runs out, what do? Because if it was all based on that, it's based on faulty foundation, and any kind of wind or storm can come and knock it right off. So what do you do? What are the steps that you take so that you can have a very secure marriage? I mean, it's like, you know, the way that we both were raised was we both saw a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of it. We saw a lot of physical abuse too.
A lot of anger, a lot of violence. And it all came out, at least in my case, all the stuff in my background came from 1000% insecurity, past hurts that had not been dealt with. And I can look at it all. It's so great to be able to look at it back. It's so great to go look back now from a place of security and intelligence and adulthood and maturity. I can look back now like I'm looking through a window of a television show going, okay, that happened because of this, that happened because of this, and that happened because of this. And it all comes down to insecurity, fear, pride, which again is all about yourself because it's all about you. And not putting the other person's needs ahead of your own. If you put someone's needs ahead of your own, your insecurity will instantly vanish. It's so funny. You put their needs ahead of your own, you're not worried about you anymore. You're worried about them. You know, if you put Christ's thoughts ahead of your own thoughts, your insecurity will vanish. If he says to you, you're more than a conqueror, that should be good enough. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's like, wow, I wish I had a friend like that. I wish I had a friend who would call me up and go, look, man, I'm right here. I got your back. Whatever you need. I had someone last night actually tell me, one of my good friends, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And I can count on one hand the amount of times people have said that to me. And that was one of them, was last night. And I thank this friend of mine profusely. I'm like, no one's really ever said that to me. I said, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So putting other people's needs ahead of your own is huge.
It is. And so, well, pride is a big problem. So when pride comes in, it says, pride goes before a fall. Mm. And so we just know when there's so much pride coming in, something is not going to line up and something's not going to work out. And you're not going to like the result of having all that pride. We came from a lot of physical, but verbal abuse. So what did you think was going to happen when Butch and I got into a relationship? Do you think not the physical abuse ever, never, ever, ever. But what about the verbal abuse? There were times where we would yell at each other horribly, which was just awful. Now, this is before Jesus came into our lives. So
even since Jesus came into our lives, we've had a lot of shouting matches. And it's unfortunate, like when you were going through your sickness, and I should say it wasn't your sickness, it was our sickness. Yes, you were the one affected.
No, that the devil's sickness.
Well, you know, when I say yours, it affected you physically, yeah. But it affected the whole family. That situation caused a lot of insecurity because the money started getting drained. You weren't feeling good. You were very upset, which made me upset because I couldn't fix it. So I was feeling inadequate. So those feelings of inadequacy and those feelings of fear came in. And when that feeling of inadequacy gets in, it is just nothing but a fear of not being enough. And that's hard for a man, especially.
Going back to the why you're so mean to me. But that is, so what happens, you know.
Not why am I so mean to you, the title.
No, why is someone so mean to you? But here's what happens. Somebody now, your spouse is mean, and they said something
hurtful.
Really mean, hurtful. And it's like this. It's like they take the knife and they shove it in your chest, in your heart. Mm. Now, I can pull it out. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. I pulled it out. Mm-hmm. Knife is here, but there's a scar there. Mm-hmm. How do we get rid of those scars? That's what the main thing is that I can stab you a million times and I can pull it out and you'll heal from it. But what about that scar that's there? What about the scar tissue that develops from the scars? Because that's the stuff that sometimes people can't get over. And that's what causes divorce.
Yeah, for sure. And
that was really good.
That was very, you're doing great.
Sometimes you got to pause on those things.
I did. I paused. Okay. For me, 2 seconds is a long pause. Hey, but anyway, guys, so, and when this person says, Rosa Maya says she has one friend like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Keep that friend.
Let me say this. We need to be that friend. We need to be the friend that says, hey, whatever you need, I'm here.
And all of us, you guys.
All of us, yeah. Because if we're that friend, then we always know that we're putting someone else's needs ahead of ours. And you know, even if they call you on it, okay, yeah. I need this. You go and do it if you can. I had someone recently ask me to drive them from an appointment. Yeah, I need you to pick me up after this appointment. I was like, okay, I will, because I promised I would. And it was not the first thing I wanted to do that day, but you know what? I went and did it, and it worked out great. And we had a good conversation. So it was probably something I needed to do anyway, because I work too much and I sit at my desk too much. I needed to get out into the fresh air and do this. And so, but when you can stretch your heart and make room for other people, it's only going to grow you as a person. And I don't mean to sound so cliche, like, oh, personal growth, but why do we want to sit?
Personal growth is good.
It is. It is. But why do you want to sit and be angry all the time? Why do you want to sit and be offended all the time? Why do we want to sit and be, like feeling less than all the time? I don't want to feel less than.
Well, you know, that's why with a lot of issues, you know, you hear from people that have been married 40, 50 years, and it's like, yeah. We don't really do anything together anymore. He just sits on the couch and does nothing, or she does the same thing.
When's the last time we sat on the couch, by the way?
I don't even know.
It's been quite a while. We sit at our counter at night.
Anyway, let me get back to what I was saying. But let me just say this. Hold on for a little thought.
She's just
going
to say this.
We enjoy each other. Like we, this is what we love to do together. So we sit on the counter and we talk about things, or we're sharing things on YouTube or something like that. That's what we love to do. We don't sit on the couch. You know, we don't sit and watch TV. That there's just not even a
there's really nothing I like
anymore.
That's on anymore.
I know. There's really nothing there. So do we
there's sit? Some things I'll watch. You know,
do we sit in the living room and just watch TV? No, we actually sit on our counter in our kitchen and we talk. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about business, of course. We talk about our daughters. We talk about like things that are coming up, you know, in the future. But when I hear some of these stories of these people that have been married like 40, 50 years, it's like, no, I just do my own thing. And he doesn't really want to go out, or she doesn't really want to do anything anymore. You know, they're just bitter. They're mad. It's like, there are things that happen in people's lives. Yes, they do. They happen. Someone hurts us. A business looks like, you know, that it, in your eyes have completely failed. Some people cannot forgive themselves for some of the failures that they've experienced, or they can't forgive somebody else that they feel stole a part of their life. You know, if you're going to sit in that,
Someone stole a part of their life. That's pretty big. We'll explain that.
Well, no, meaning that somebody, they stole a part of your life because it turned out that they were a liar and they were, you know, misguiding you or misleading you all that time.
So you spent the best parts, the best years of your life with this person.
Yeah.
And then the person, you find out the person's been a fraud the whole time or whatever.
That could be devastating. And I get that.
And that is, that could also make you bitter toward a new relationship in the future. And it's really unfortunate.
And there comes the prenuptial agreement. But anyway, no, but what I'm saying is that I hate to see anybody in the last, let's say 15 years or 20 years of their life, not be happy anymore with their spouse. Because, but see, that's why we're doing this, because something that might have come up like at your 30-year marriage now could be maybe resolved, so that in your 50 or 60 years of marriage, that got resolved right there. So now you're not miserable. Why not be able to have the most amazing life from start to finish? Why not? Why not finish this race here in this world strong with your spouse and loving and having a great time? Like, why does it have to go to bitterness and anger and pride? And like, we don't even, you know, and why sadness, does it have to go there? It doesn't have to.
You know, sadness and all this. We were talking with our financial manager today, because listen, we want to be wise in our finances. So we were just talking about, hey, we want to do these certain things, and how do we go about doing these things? But the great thing was we had the conversation together with this guy. It wasn't like me making decisions on my own and her making decisions on her own. It's like, we are going to go into this together. And what do you think the best plan of action is? And even if it's a small thing, I only point out the financial manager thing because maybe sometimes it's good to talk to somebody who has information that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't afford a counselor. Forget the counselor. I mean, counselor, your grandmother can be a counselor if she had a great marriage. Your mother can be a great, your father, your grandparents or whatever can be. If they've had a great marriage, ask them, what are some of the keys? Sometimes we, you know, it's almost like when Jesus went to his hometown, it says a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. They didn't respect Jesus because they grew up with him. They knew him. They're like, that's the kid who's the savior of the world. It's that kid I grew up with. They don't respect him. Sometimes we look at our own family and we don't respect them because they're our family. And we go like, oh, that's just grandpa. What does he know? Well, they might have a lot of knowledge about good marriage. And you know, well, that's just grandma and grandpa. They're these silly old people. But why don't you ask them why they're together still?
How are they together still? And what values did they stand on? And, you know, like what was a deal breaker for them? Like, there are many things that we have to talk about so that, like, for instance, you know, we've got two daughters. We have to model, we have been modeling what a marriage is like since day one.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
we've done our best to model best.
By any means.
Yep.
But you talk about, you teach your kids how to communicate. You teach your kids how to share. You teach your kids how to love your spouse no matter what's going on. Like, it's not just I don't like the way you do that, so I'm out of here. You know, unfortunately, what I was taught was, if it doesn't work, you know, if it's, you know, gets a little too hairy for you,
you can always get divorced.
You can always get divorced. That's what I was taught. As a matter of fact, on our wedding day, I said to my mom, who gave me away, I said, oh my God, I said, what if this doesn't work? And she said, well, you can always get a divorce. Now, I'm saying that because my mom didn't know any better.
Her mom's been divorced four times. Three times.
Yeah.
The last one died.
Yeah. But my mom is an amazing woman, but she never had a marriage based on biblical principles. She was married to a lot of abusive men. So that's why she doesn't have, she didn't have the right words to say to me. It's okay, because my mom got saved 20 years ago and her whole life is different now. And she would have said something differently that day.
Totally. But like, you know, when you can put the Lord in the middle of your decision-making process, you won't just rush into something because you feel, oh my gosh, my clock is ticking. I better get married now.
I know.
And the first person you see is going to be the lucky recipient. That might not be the intended person. Yes, God will make that work. Yes, God can make anything work. But maybe there's a plan that God has for you that, were you to listen to him a little more closely, you'd understand what the plan is. I can't.
Keith Nance's parents have been married 62 years.
My friend Keith Nance, let me see.
My God.
My parents have been married 62 years in February. That's amazing, Keith Nance.
That is awesome.
You know, if Keith invented a dance, it'd be called the Nance Dance.
The Nance Dance.
Yeah, and if it was a dance in your pants, it'd be the Nance Pants Dance. I'm just saying, there's a lot of cool words that rhyme with Nance. We love Keith. Okay. Thank you, Keith.
Yes, Keith, you're amazing. And he's an amazing writer as well.
Yeah, he writes
for him. He's working on a project with us. But anyway, yes, we need those people around so that we can look at their lives and want to be like them. Meaning that we're going to strive for this. This is, you know, I would hope, again, some people do, even myself, I would hope that most people are getting married because they really are considering spending the rest of their life together.
You don't
realize that when you're 20, and now you're now in your 60s, and you're like, wow, we've been married 40 years.
Because God wants you to be stronger, not weaker. Everything in the Bible is to make you stronger, not weaker. Everything. And having someone in your life to back you up, to be with you, to be there to comfort you in a physical way, and a spiritual way, having a wife or a husband. It's a wonderful thing because it makes you stronger as a person, and you build a family, you build what's called a legacy. You build a family tree that can then make the world a better place. I always ask people, do you want to be a new branch on your family tree or be in the same old tree?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the tree if that's the way you want it to be. But I had to form a new branch in my family tree. I had to form a new branch in my situation. And I have, praise the Lord. And I give Jesus all the credit for that. He's the one who changed my heart and pointed me down the road to where I needed to go. Because I allowed myself, that's a cough drop, by the way, I was holding this in my hand. He's the one who pointed me in the right direction as to where I needed to go and what I needed to do. And the one thing I had to do big time was change my heart. You know, why are we so mean to each other? We haven't changed our heart.
Yes.
We have not changed our heart. There's a bunch of examples in the Bible of people that were mean. Paul the Apostle is a great example. Very mean guy, very scary guy. Was a murderer. And then Jesus went, yep, he's the guy that I'm going to use. And so he's the one who's going to, Paul's the one who's going to write most of the New Testament and help change the world for Christ.
Why do I want to sing that song? If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Is that Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Wait a little longer. I think that's how it goes.
I think it's that.
I'm too old to know that song.
But the bottom line is this, and we do have to go, no matter what, why are you so mean to your spouse? Stop being mean to your spouse. Like, literally, find out, okay, why am I so angry? Ask yourself that question. Why are you so angry? What are you mad about? Because I'll tell you what, it's probably you're not mad at your spouse. You're probably mad at yourself because you haven't gotten any further in that job, or, you know, your career did not go the way you thought it was.
Yep.
A lot of times it's about you, and that's called pride. And so I'm just saying that not everybody, this is not be the case for everybody, but if it is the case for you, you have the opportunity right now to say to the Lord, Lord, how do I change this? Show me what to do, and he will show it to you.
Amen. All right, guys, have a wonderful week. We love you and see you next week.
Bye.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by his stripes, we are healed." God bless you.